Blog Talk Radio.
I'm a little bit of a mess here in terms of getting my clips in order, but we're going to wing it, and we're going to see how it goes for the show. I got 8 clips for you, and they're all out of order, so it should be fun trying to pick the right ones when the time comes. But anywho, it's not like I've never done that before. A lot of stuff to talk about today. We got the Wall Street Journal has an incredible story about some shadiness from the Clintons, yet again. I thought this one was WikiLeaks originally, but it looks like it's actually not. It looks like it was just the Wall Street Journal somehow got their hands on this information. I like how almost every story about the Clintons is coming from WikiLeaks now, but this one, like I said, is not. Yeah, so was there something going on behind the scenes there when it came to the FBI investigating her email scandal? And then remember the speech that Comey gave where he's like, yeah, okay, so here's like 913 different things she did that she shouldn't have done that kind of break the law, and there's no charges. So we're going to see what went into that, what went into making the sausage, and there may have been some tricky stuff behind the scenes you will probably be unsurprised to hear. Then, sweet Jesus, yet again, I can't stand it. I'm telling you, I have like Clinton-Trump phobia, because I don't want to talk about them anymore. I'm fucking sick of talking about them. I think some of you guys are sick of hearing about them, because even though we're still, like, the election is coming up, we're not past it, obviously, you can see the numbers on YouTube starting to dip, too, because people are like, all right, enough, I get it, they both suck. But I do have some non-related stuff, I guess, later on. Do I? Oh, sweet Jesus, I might not. No, I do. I have a few non-election-related stories, but most of them are election-related. All right, so without further ado, here we go yet again, another edition of Trumpular, Clintonular talk, Clinton talk something, I don't know. All right, Wall Street Journal. The Wall Street Journal has an incredible story here on some really, really bad shadiness from the Clinton team. So they explain, the political organization of Virginia Governor Terry McAuliffe, an influential Democrat with long-standing ties to Bill and Hillary Clinton, gave nearly $500,000 to the election campaign of the wife of an official at the FBI who later helped oversee the investigation into Mrs. Clinton's email use. Campaign finance records show Mr. McAuliffe's Political Action Committee donated $467,500 to the 2015 state Senate campaign of Dr. Jill McCabe, who is married to Andrew McCabe, now the deputy director of the FBI. The Virginia Democratic Party, over which Mr. McAuliffe exerts considerable control, donated an additional $207,788 worth of support to Dr. McCabe's campaign in the form of mailers, according to the records. That adds up to slightly more than $675,000 to her candidacy from entities either directly under McAuliffe's control or slightly influenced by him. Oh, boy. All right, so for those of you who don't know, Terry McAuliffe is not only a governor, but he is and has been a deep, deep Clinton insider forever, since the 90s. And some have described him as their best friend, Bill Clinton and Hillary Clinton's best friend. So when you want to talk about somebody who's a deep political insider, who knows how the sausage is made, knows all the decisions the Clintons make, They know what goes on behind the scenes. This is the guy. Now, think about it. If you're Bill Clinton and you're Hillary Clinton and you know what's going on with that FBI investigation and you want to make sure, you have friends in high places, but you want to make sure that nothing happens when they investigate you to figure out if you broke any laws with your emails, what do you do? Well, I mean, look, you can't. It'd be crazy for you to take your money and give it directly to somebody who's a relative of somebody who's making decisions at the FBI. You can't do that because that's too obvious. That's too easy. And you just get caught immediately. So what did they do? Remove it one layer. Go to your best friend. Your best friend is a big-time political insider, a governor. Pass it on to him somehow. We don't know the channels in how it got from point A to point B. But you pass the money on to him. Then he passes it on to the wife of somebody working at the FBI on Hillary Clinton's case. And then lo and behold, oh my goodness, look at that. It turns out that the FBI investigation yielded no charges. Now, it's strange because there are people who have had consequences for doing much less than Hillary Clinton. We covered the stories. I mean, there was somebody who just took cell phone pictures of something that he shouldn't have taken cell phone pictures of. Some guy in the Navy or something. Like, you're not allowed to release this information about this newfangled machine slash product we're using. He took some pictures of it. It went to court. He was found guilty. So that happens for that. Hillary Clinton sent just countless, emails at top secret, classified. They said her email server that she was using had less protection than if she was just using Gmail. They were like, yeah, and she also sent these emails from within hostile state lines. But anyway, look, at the end of the day, what are we going to say here? She wasn't, like, literally a Russian spy, so she's not, like, actively trying to bring down the United States on purpose. Therefore, no reasonable prosecutor would bring charges. Free to go. Okay, wait, hold on. That's insanity. Now, did they ever talk about intent when it came to Chelsea Manning and when it came to Edward Snowden? They didn't. Because the intent is clear. I mean, nobody denies the intent. What Edward Snowden did is he was trying to expose the crimes, the illegality within our own government, how they are acting unconstitutional and not in accordance with the Fourth Amendment. So he's leaking this stuff to try to make the government be accountable. So his intent is as pure as it gets. It's as good as it gets. They go, no, intent, we don't care about intent. You were playing loose with classified information. Yeah, that's exactly what Hillary Clinton did. It's exactly what she did. Chelsea Manning, same thing. Hey, here's some tapes of the U.S. government massacring civilians with drones in Iraq. They just kill civilians, circle back around, kill again, and those were media people and first responders in ambulance, blow it up, and then you move right along. It was nothing like they were playing a video game. Chelsea Manning had a conscience. She's like, you know what? I'm going to release this. Releases it. The intent was pure. They go, I don't care. Can't play loose classified information, top secret information like that. What, are you crazy? That might fall into the wrong hands or something. Hillary Clinton, all day long, not even decent, security on her server. Not just using a private email account. That's a dodge the partisan Democrats have said for a long time. Oh, she was just using a different email, account. And Colin Powell did that too, so who cares? But that's not true. He used a separate account. He never had his own server. She built a server in her fucking house. And look, a lot of the speculation is she's probably doing that because of the pay-to-play corruption going on behind the scenes with the Clinton Foundation, and she doesn't want that stored in official government records. So, and then, of course, there's still emails missing, and we already know that there were many things she did that she shouldn't have done in the ones that we got. And at the end of the day, hey, free to go, and would you look at that? Turns out one of the top people who was calling the shots at the FBI, not the number one in command, but the number two in command, his wife got about $500,000 from Bill Clinton and Hillary Clinton's best friend. Nothing fishy about that. Everything is fishy about that. And you know what this story reminded me of? Bill Clinton, happening to meet with, who was it? Oh, God, I'm blanking on her name. I'm going to look it up now as I talk to you. Bill Clinton meeting tarmac. Let's see what pops up. What's her name? Where are you? Loretta Lynch. I don't know how the fuck I blanked on that. Jesus, man. How do you blank on Loretta Lynch, Kyle? Okay, sorry. You know what this reminds me of? Bill Clinton meeting with Loretta Lynch. Loretta Lynch, of course, the Attorney General, on a tarmac randomly. Just no big deal, you know, you're investigating my wife and whatever, it is what it is. You're going to give the results in a little bit. But hey, we just ran into each other. And, you know, we only talk about our grandkids. We had a conversation about that, about some pizza. We spoke about pizza. We spoke about the NHL. We spoke about a lot of different stuff, but we haven't really talked about the investigation going on. You guys are crazy conspiracy theorists. Who are you kidding? Look, if you're somebody who is an over-the-top supporter of Hillary Clinton, stop kidding yourself. Like, it's embarrassing at this point. It's so obvious that they're deep, corrupt political insiders. And that's not to excuse Donald Trump and all his nonsense and say he's good. Of course he's not. He's a disaster. He's a liar as well. Okay? Let's be clear about that. But a lot of people feel like, since Trump is so bad, I have to excuse away everything that Hillary's done. And if you do that, God, I question your intelligence, man. You're just not that bright. You're just a dim bulb. You're not willing to be objective. You're not willing to be honest. You're not willing to call things out for what they are. And what we see here is another classic case of Clinton corruption. And are there going to be consequences? Well, there hasn't been fucking consequences ever before. That's the thing that's so disheartening about going through all this. I mean, how many times have people exposed the Clinton Foundation for the pay-to-play corruption going on, and nothing happens? Now we have this. Is something going to happen? Probably not. WikiLeaks, every day they're releasing shit. Oh, look at that. The King of Morocco gave the Clinton Foundation $12 million, and Bill and Chelsea went and spoke there. Yeah, I'm sure that they didn't give them $12 million for political favors down the road with a President Hillary Clinton willing to use the levers of power to help them. I'm sure. No, stop being stupid. Stop being ridiculous. This is unacceptable. And anybody who defends it is a silly person. Okay. All right. Now we move along to Hillary Clinton's campaign manager, who was grilled by Chris Wallace. Jesus, I told you I was going to have issues finding the clips now. Of course. Let's see. Is this it? Let me see. Money from a foreign... Yes, that's it. Okay. It was labeled something weird. Hillary Clinton's campaign manager was grilled by Chris Wallace, of all people, on pay-to-play corruption that was happening at the Clinton Foundation. Let's see if you can count how many dodges he does and how many times he invokes Russia, 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 Russia to try to wiggle out of any accountability.
Person to the foundation at the time she's running for president. If this was, as you can see in those emails, this was a scheduling matter, and we didn't want her going overseas. I didn't want her going overseas before the campaign was kicking off. But again, these are stolen documents, stolen by the Russians. It's now confirmed from John Podesta. They are being put out for exactly this purpose.
Well,
Donald Trump wants this campaign to be about something else.
Let me just speak to that, though, because, you know, the Trump tax returns were stolen as well when they were mailed to the New York Times. You guys didn't object to that. In fact, you jumped all over them.
Well, we don't know where those tax returns come
from. Well, they weren't. They were clearly stolen.
We don't know, and you'd have
to
work
with
the New York Times on that.
Given them?
I don't know. I don't know how they got to the New York Times.
I guess what I'm saying is, if we're looking at the fruits of that theft, and I will call it a theft, what's fair to look at the fruits of your theft?
I think what's particularly disturbing in this situation is that the intelligence community has now confirmed that John Podesta's emails and the DNC emails were stolen by the Russians.
Connection. I'm talking about the $12 million from the King of Morocco and the fact that this continues to sort of show the line between private and public and Hillary Clinton and the Clinton Foundation.
I think we got to look at what decisions were made. There was a meeting in Morocco. Secretary Clinton decided not to go focus on her campaign here. And again, we're having
but
this discussion because
Clinton
the Russians
Hillary Clinton, Clinton went, correct?
My understanding is that they did go, but she did not. And again, this is the discussion that Russians want us to be having. They stole this information. They're selectively leaking. I can't even verify any of the information that you have there. We simply don't have enough time as a campaign to
If things were not true, you'd tell us.
And we are trying to go through some of them as we can, but we don't have time to go through them all. And again, this is a distraction put in place by the Russian government at the suggestion and encouragement of Donald Trump. That should be a chilling fact for every single American.
Robbie, thank you. Thanks for your time.
What's chilling is how big of a liar you are. That's what's chilling. And how much you dodge basic questions. That's what's chilling. I hate watching the Democratic Party become what it's become as a result of Hillary Clinton being the nominee. They've become everything they claim to despise. They're manipulative. They're liars. They cover stuff up about corruption and facts about their candidate. She's such a damaged candidate, and she's done so many horrible things, and she's voted the wrong way so many times that the entire operation is damage control. And you can't just be honest and straightforward, because if you're honest and straightforward about Hillary Clinton, you go, oh, yeah, disaster, terrible, corrupt, made poor decisions. So look at that, man. That exchange was unreal. There was not a shred of honesty in what Robbie Mook was saying. That's her campaign manager. I mean, how many times did Russia, 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 Russia? That's not a response, man. When somebody gives specific information that came out in WikiLeaks, and they say, okay, how do you respond to this? That's not – it's a red herring to say, bah, the leaks came from Russia. That doesn't mean anything. You know what that's like? That's like when if somebody finds out their significant other is cheating, and then when you bring it up to them, they're like, oh, yeah? Well, you saw that because you violated my privacy when the phone went off and you saw that it was another woman. So I'm the victim here. Stop, stop, stop. You're cheating. Discuss that. That's the discussion to be had. Yeah, but the thing about the thing is you saw the thing unjustly. So, yeah. No. And also, by the way, Clinton loves to bring up, there's so many different government organizations have proven that this is from Russia. You know what those organizations include? I'm not kidding about this. The Coast Guard. So you know what they did, right? They did the old neocon trick, the old Dick Cheney trick. Dick Cheney, when he wanted something done, he would go to the Justice Department, and he'd go to a low-level person and say, hey, just say I could do this. Then they'd say it, and then Dick Cheney would go out in public and say, the Justice Department has given me permission to do this. The oldest, most disgusting, sleazy trick in the book, right-wing trick. Now Hillary Clinton is doing it. You go, hey, doesn't somebody know somebody at the Coast Guard? Go talk to somebody at the Coast Guard and make them say, oh, yeah, it was the Russians. A government organization has proven it's the Russians. It's not just me saying it. It's the U.S. government saying it. It's not just me saying it. It's the U.S. government saying it. So these are the kinds of sleazy tricks that they do in order to dodge accountability. Now, what they're talking about specifically in this one is $12 million given from the King of Morocco to the Clinton Foundation, and in return for that, Bill Clinton, Hillary Clinton, go speak there. Now, let me ask you a question. You think that's it? Are you naive enough to think that's it? Why would you give somebody $12 million? Here's the answer. When you want something from them. Now, Hillary Clinton isn't president yet, but when she's president, you bet your sweet ass she's going to do something. She's done it before whenever Bill went to various Gulf states. Secretary of State Hillary Clinton would turn around and approve, oh, look at that, a weapons deal worth billions of dollars was just approved for the Gulf state that my husband took money from. What a coincidence! What a coincidence! And it's like, oh, no, they just want to do charity. This is what the Clinton partisans say. There are millions of charities on the planet. This guy is a fucking leader of a country. If he wants to, he could just start spending money on his own people. That's charity. No, give it to the Clinton Foundation because you want favors in return. They have no answer to it. They have no answer to it. So what do? Russia. Fucking Russia. It's Russia. And by the way, I can't verify any of these leaks. This is another thing they've been saying. No, some of them are fake. Literally, none of them are fake. But you know what they're doing, right? What they've done is they've taken documents not released by WikiLeaks, but other documents where that were faked, where some idiots have tweeted them out saying, this is from the WikiLeaks batch, and it wasn't that. So because some people made up some documents, and it wasn't in the WikiLeaks batch, but other people have circulated it saying, oh, it's part of WikiLeaks, they go, well, look, what WikiLeaks released, we can't even verify it. No, that's not true. That can be verified. What WikiLeaks is releasing is verified. The only things that are not, and some that have been faked, are ones that weren't from WikiLeaks that other people have been passing around as if it is. So they use that little smidgen of deniability to go, maybe none of them are real. Maybe none of them are real. And then Chris Wallace actually makes a great point when he says, look, you keep saying, hey, these were illegally taken, and that's grounds to not talk about them. Well, those tax returns that we got from Trump in, what was it, 1994, that showed that he lost about $915 million because he's a shitty fucking businessman, he goes, those were stolen too. Well, Trump didn't release them. Trump doesn't want that information out there. Why the fuck would Trump want that information out there? Here, look, I'm the worst businessman on the fucking planet. Enjoy. He didn't do that. So somebody stole it and sent it to the media, and the media had an obligation to report on it. It's the same thing with WikiLeaks. Doesn't matter how you got the information, you got to report on it. It's facts. You're supposed to hold people accountable. If you have information, you got to release it. So same thing happens with Trump. They were more than willing to talk about that. Oh, all day. Look, oh my God, Trump, $915 million loss, worst businessman ever, six different bankruptcies. Oh, this is terrible. If the Trump campaign fired back and was like, you know what, those documents were stolen, and that's grounds not to talk about it. Here's the Clinton campaign response. Oh, that's cute. But now when you flip the script, it's WikiLeaks, and it's exposing the corruption of the Clinton campaign. Stolen documents. Russia. Fucking Russia. And they're willing to escalate with Russia, march closer towards World War III, in order to just get her sorry ass in the White House. That's what we're witnessing, and it's terrible. And many Democratic partisan hacks have become everything that they claim to despise. Okay, now, let's go to, I can't do this video yet because it's a longer one. I don't have much time before the break. Let me see here. I'm going to do the Debbie Wasserman Schultz story. How you like them apples? So Debbie Wasserman Schultz emerged from hiding, and she did a small campaign event for Hillary Clinton at Gainesville, at the Gainesville Police Department, I should say, in Florida. Now, during the event, about 50 or 60 Hillary supporters were there, and in her speech, Debbie Wasserman Schultz said the following. It was so heartwarming how, if you look at the two contrasts that we have in front of us, a Republican Party that is in utter chaos, they are in the midst of a chaotic civil war, so much so that I'm not even sure the Republican Party is going to look the way it did before this election cycle started. And look at our party. Even though we had a very contested Democratic primary that lasted a long time, we are completely united. Completely united. All right, now, first of all, that's just simply not true. Many Bernie voters are still very, very rightfully angry at the Clinton campaign and the DNC and Debbie Wasserman Schultz and establishment Democrats because Bernie didn't get a fair shake. He just didn't. So we've discussed it before, but for example, many of the primaries were closed. When you have closed primaries, it biases the primary in favor of Hillary Clinton. When you open the primary and allow in independents, that makes it much more likely that Bernie Sanders will win. Then, of course, there was the messing around with the voting times in pro-Bernie districts. That happened in my state of New York. Then there were the tricky rules as well. Again, in New York, if you wanted to change parties, you had to do it like 6 months in advance or something crazy like that. And they just made it as difficult as possible. They suppressed turnout as much as possible because the lower the turnout, the more likely it is to go to Hillary Clinton because Bernie Sanders gets way more millennials, and whenever there's a higher turnout, it's because there's more millennials. So, and the list goes on and on in the ways in which there was the WikiLeaks documents which proved that there were emails, basically the DNC colluding with the media. Debbie Wasserman Schultz throwing tantrums saying, look, you were too hard on Morning Joe. You were too hard on us today. I'm going to speak to your higher up. I'm going to speak to your boss and make sure that doesn't happen again. So all these different things, it just adds up, and it was terrible. So, and understand, she used horrific, hacky attacks. Oh, Bernie's a sexist. Bernie's a misogynist. His followers, his supporters, the supporters of the most liberal person in the race and the most liberal senator in the country, they're also sexist. That's why they oppose Hillary Clinton. Use arguments like that, it's going to be hard to get them on your side later on, is it not? So that's the case. And then furthermore, in the general election, Hillary Clinton immediately ran right. You would think she'd try to, you know, corral all the left-wing voters who were hurt over this stuff, because she wasn't sufficiently progressive, and she really snubbed them. But instead of catering to her base, which she needs to do in order to win, she ran right, courted neocons. We discussed those stories in detail. So this idea, this myth of like, oh, the Democratic Party's totally fine as the Republican Party's in chaos, no, that's not true at all. In fact, I think if anything, the opposite is more likely to be true. Because when it comes to Donald Trump, it is true that many Republicans don't like him. But those Republicans are mostly establishment Republicans, of which there are a very limited number, rich establishment Republicans. The base appears to love him. In fact, whenever an establishment Republican goes out and says, I unendorse him or something to that effect, people boo. The actual grassroots Republicans are like, boo, fuck you, boo, boo, boo. So they're on Team Trump. Now, on the flip side, you have the entire Democratic establishment united behind Hillary Clinton, but a lot of the people in the base are like, fuck you. In fact, only, 55%, according to a poll. Now, granted, this poll was a few months ago, so I'm sure the picture has changed at least somewhat today, but this is all the information that I have. About 55% of Bernie voters said, okay, we'll vote for Hillary Clinton. That means 45% said no. That number has to be like 80 or 90% of Bernie voters that are going to vote for Hillary if she really wants to do well. Now, look, at the end of the day, it turns out there might just not be enough voters in the Republican base to get Donald Trump to win, and Hillary wins solely based on that fact. Solely based on that fact. But bottom line is, she really did spit in the eye of her base, and people remember that. So with Debbie Wasserman Schultz going out there like, oh yeah, no, we're totally united. No, maybe among your rich buddies and your friends on Wall Street and your predatory payday lender friends, by the way, she took a lot of money from them and then went to bat for them, maybe among them, but not among the people. So that's point number one. Point number two is, you ready for this? As she's giving this speech, we're so united. Like I said, 50 to 60 Hillary supporters in the room as she's talking about this. There were 20 Bernie supporters who were protesting Debbie Wasserman Schultz just outside of the building. She's giving a speech about how united the Democrats are. Literally right in front of her, they are not united. In fact, they go on to explain in the article, there's one time where, you know, the Bernie protesters are protesting, and one of the Hillary protesters knocks down a sign, and he starts screaming too, screaming in their face, and they have some words. And the entire time, Debbie Wasserman Schultz is like, you know, we're so united, and the Republicans are in chaos. But this leads to the main point, which is, this Democratic Party is going to take their hubris and ride themselves right off a cliff. That's what's going to happen. Because, again, so right now the polls are against Donald Trump for the reason I stated, but they are now going to double down on this philosophy of neoliberalism. They're going to double down on this philosophy of corporatist center-right hawkishness, because they think, well, what do you mean? Hillary Clinton looks like she's going to win the election, so this is what we need to do in order to keep winning, is we need to keep being sellouts. That's the answer. And then guess what? The next Donald Trump is going to come along. He's going to be just as populist as Donald Trump is in his rhetoric. He's going to drop some of the more goofy things that got Donald Trump in trouble, some of the scandals that make it so that people don't want to vote for him. And then that person's going to win. And then the Democrats are going to go, oh, shit. The answer was maybe to actually be progressive. The answer was maybe to actually do right by the people. The answer was actually to stick true to our roots and our base. But we just kept creeping more right, more corporatist, more hawkish. And then eventually, we created a monster on the other side. Because all the person had to do on the right wing was come along and just say, hey, I'm against TPP, I'm for the people. Let's bring back factory jobs. Let's do that. Oh, then all of a sudden, that person's got a shot. Donald Trump, if he just focused on those things, he could have won this election. If he was just talking about TPP and NAFTA, and he was just talking about how hawkish Hillary is, and he hammered away on the corruption, and that's all he did, He could have won this election. Instead, he got goofy and the personal shit got involved, and there was the tape of him talking about sexually assaulting people, which is a big deal. So all that stuff muddied the waters. But if it wasn't for that, what's the next Donald Trump going to be like? Somebody who's just as authoritarian, who could have just as many fascist tendencies and theocratic tendencies, but they keep it under wraps and they're just able to go out there and do a populist message. Well, with these center-right, corporatist, hawkish Democrats, they can lose to that kind of a candidate. In fact, we still have a race right now. Hillary should be up by 15 points. She's only up 5.5 points on average against Donald Trump. Again, it's very likely she's going to win. But understand, that's nothing to be proud of. You're against the most disliked candidate in history. He had a 63% unfavorability rating recently. You're telling me you're only up 5.5 points on that guy? How is that possible? Because nobody likes you either. But it appears like the Democrats are going to take the exact wrong message away from this. Let's be more corporatist because it looks like it worked here. Opening up the door for a worse demagogue to come in and jack the election and jack the country. And you have nobody to blame but yourself for it. Nobody to blame but yourself. So wake up, look in the mirror, take responsibility, stop being sellouts. Now, I say that's never going to happen. The answer is to get the money out of the system so that we get parties that actually represent us. But either way, you see the thinking of Debbie Wasserman Schultz and the establishment here, and it ain't pretty. Okay. Let's take a break. When we come back, Donald Trump caught in outright corruption. Oh, boy. Stay right there.
When I say All right, welcome back, people. Let's jump right into Donald Trump's corruption exposed. Oh, this is something special. He's just as guilty of what Hillary's guilty of. He just hides it better. Okay. The Telegraph did some great investigative reporting on Donald Trump's campaign, and oh boy, do they have a doozy for us today. So they explain here, senior figures involved with the Great America PAC, one of the leading independent groups organizing television ads and grassroots support for Donald Trump, sought to channel $2 million from a Chinese donor into the campaign to elect the billionaire despite laws prohibiting donations from foreigners. This is something he has specifically hit Hillary Clinton for with the Clinton Foundation and taking foreign money from donors. So let's take a look at the video here. You're going to see somebody named Eric Beach. This is the PAC's co-chair. And you're going to see somebody named Jesse Benton. This is somebody who's a consultant working for Trump's PAC here who already had gone to jail for violating some of the few remaining campaign finance laws we have. Let's check it out. Let me just say first and foremost here, thanks, Supreme Court! So the Supreme Court, for those of you who don't know, decided in, you know, plethora of court cases over the years, starting in the late 1970s, that money equals free speech. And they eventually got to the point with McCutcheon and Citizens United with those decisions where they said, super PACs can spend unlimited amounts of money on political campaigns and on the political process, because they argue, they're independent. What do you mean? The super PAC isn't directly run by Donald Trump. So since it's not directly run by Donald Trump, it's people who are not affiliated with him, and they're not allowed to coordinate, even though all of them do. So they're not allowed to coordinate, so it's not corruption. So it's just people spending money because they agree with the philosophy of one of the candidates. So if a donor comes in and wants to give $2 million to a super PAC, they're not asking for any favors. Except they are. And as you can see here, it actually is illegal for foreign money to go into the super PAC. So that's what happened. We have a Chinese donor who's really an investigative reporter for the Telegraph going in there. These are people representing this Chinese donor to give $2 million to the super PAC. And what do they say? They go, look, I'm not saying he wants any special favors, but what I am saying is he'd like to, my client would like to know that he's not going to be treated like any other person, if you know what I'm saying. And what's the response? Well, first of all, they say, quote, let's not put it on paper. So don't put it on paper because then there's a paper trail and we all know we're kind of breaking the law here. And the other thing is we can have that whispered into Trump's ear whenever your client feels it's appropriate. And the other guy basically saying, look, no way this won't be remembered if you give $2 million. Now, Donald Trump has been ripping Hillary Clinton, and he's been ripping Hillary Clinton for something that I think is rightful. Hey, you're taking all this money for the Clinton Foundation from foreign donors. And what, we're supposed to believe you're not going to turn around and do favors for them? We just got the news the other day from WikiLeaks. They took $12 million from the Moroccan king, and Bill and Chelsea went and gave a speech, and you think that's all that's going to happen? No. When Hillary Clinton is president, when she's back in power, it's, you scratch my back, now I'm going to scratch yours. What do you need? What kind of a subsidy do you need? What kind of a weapons deal do you need? I got you. Of course. And it's not. And we've seen it. We've seen it with the Gulf states. We've seen it with Saudi Arabia. We've seen it with others. That's the nature of the Clinton Foundation. That's not saying they don't do some good things, but it is pay-to-play corruption. Donald Trump's doing the same thing. He's doing it through his super PAC. He's saying, look, that could be whispered in Trump's ear. How is it going to be whispered in his ear if there's no coordination? There is coordination between the super PAC and the campaign and him, which means that's a violation of campaign finance law. But again, blame the Supreme Court mostly because the Supreme Court's like, huh, this isn't corruption. They're an independent group, and I'm sure they'll remain independent because they care about the law. They say, not only is it not corruption, it's not even the appearance of corruption. Face meet palm. There aren't enough palms on the planet for that face. So they're either stupid and naive, or they kind of knew this was going to happen and they didn't care. Because they think, well, look, money is free speech, so you should be able to spend whatever you want on the election, and that's that. Except, what's the glaring problem with that philosophy? By those rules, whoever has the most money has a louder voice and more free speech than somebody who's poor. That's insanity. And it's not free speech. If money equals free speech, then anybody – so I should be able to go pay to have sex. This isn't me actually literally paying for sex. This is just me giving money to this woman because I'm expressing, it's just speech, I'm just saying how much I like to have sex with women. That's it. All I'm going to do is go buy some crystal meth. I'm not buying crystal meth. All I'm doing is I'm expressing with speech, because money is speech. I'm giving money to this person to let them know, here is my speech, and I am saying crystal meth is awesome. It's not illegal to say crystal meth is awesome. That's perfectly legal because it's speech. But no, these guys, money equals speech. Oh, only with the election. Only when you're a bribing politician and you have legalized bribery and corruption. By the way, guys, look, I'm against both of them. So don't get it twisted. There are going to be some people who bring this up, and they bring this up to deflect from the same thing that Hillary Clinton is doing with the Clinton Foundation. That's what they're going to do. Oh, yeah, Trump's the problem, see? He's the one who's really corrupt. As if Hillary Clinton's not corrupt and she's not doing the same thing with the Clinton Foundation, and she's not doing the same thing, forget foreign donors, with Wall Street donors, with American donors who are trying to corrupt her just as much. That's just as big of a problem. So she's doing that, he's doing it too. But don't deflect from either one of the problems. They both have this problem. They're both massively, deeply corrupt. And here, now we know. A Trump super PAC was going to get Trump to do favors for a Chinese billionaire who was going to give him $2 billion. So, $2 million, excuse me. So this idea of like, oh, Trump, yeah, he's the nationalist candidate, not the globalist candidate, and what he's going to do is make sure we bring jobs back from China. Let me ask you a question. He would bring them back from the person who donated $2 million to him from China? You can't possibly be that stupid to believe that. Nobody's that stupid. Yeah, I gave you $2 million, but now you're going to turn around and ship all the jobs back. No, you're not. He's not going to do it. He's simply not going to do it. His own jobs have been shipped to China and Mexico and Turkey and Bangladesh. There's no way he would take these jobs away from somebody who's a foreign donor who would give him money like this person. Now, thankfully, in this instance, it wasn't a real person. But have there been deals like this made with real people? Again, how stupid are you to think no? It's been proven that they're more than willing to do it, and they're happy to do it. So, yes, blame the candidates. Yes, let's get angry at the candidates. Yes, let's hold them accountable. But most importantly, we got to change the system of money in politics. Again, this was technically against the law, but they did something, or they could just so willy-nilly break it, and it doesn't even occur to them, because that's just the nature of the system functions, of how the system functions, once you allow super PACs. So you understand what I'm saying there? Once you allow them to exist, all this other stuff naturally follows, regardless of which particulars are against the law and not against the law. They're going to coordinate even though that's against the law. They're going to take foreign money even though that's against the law. Because the way they did it is you have the people, the lawyers representing the supposed client, they pass the money on to Trump's corrupt buddy here working for the PAC. He takes it through his companies. He puts it into a 501c4 organization, and then the 501c4 organization puts it into the super PAC. So you see how it went through a couple different routes, so it's hard to, okay, well, where's it from? Well, you got to trace back. We lost the trail. We don't know where the fuck it went. That's the move you do when you're trying to get the money. It's laundering the money, basically. So you're trying to get it to, you know, a place where it appears like, what do you mean? No, we just took $2 million more for the PAC. Oh, there's no weird things attached to it. Look, it's weird no matter who the fuck is giving it, because they're always going to want strings attached and they're always going to want favors. So it is corruption, and it's corruption built into the system. You shouldn't even have super PACs. They shouldn't exist. Private money shouldn't be allowed in politics, period. It should be clean elections, which is public financing, which makes it so that the candidates can actually have an argument and a battle of ideas and philosophies. So if the people pay the politicians, who are the politicians going to represent? They're much more likely to represent the people. But if it's corporations and billionaires paying the politicians, who are they going to represent? They're going to represent the corporations and the billionaires, and in this case, the foreign donors. So none of this is okay. Stop excusing it. Get the money out of the system. End the madness. We have two horrendously corrupt candidates, and it's terrible. Okay. Okay. Now we go on to Republicans trying to run away from Trump. Republican consultant Michael Steele, not that Michael Steele who is a former head of the RNC, but actually a different Michael Steele who is a Republican, he went on MSNBC to talk about the state of the race. And, oh boy, did he try to distance Republicans from Trump.
The right way to think of Donald Trump is not as a Republican. He's not a conservative. He's not a Republican. He's a third-party populist who gained our nomination because we had a five-car pileup in the establishment lane of the party. In order to prevent that from happening in the future, we're going to have to think hard about how to appeal to those non-college-educated voters. But the good news is, we have a lot of 40-something statewide elected office holders. We have a deep bench who are going to provide the next generation of leadership for our party. There's no question that a lot of people who, well, everyone is in a tough position. No Republican that I've met wants to support Secretary Clinton. At the same time, we have this depraved clown who captured our nomination, and so you're in a bad position no matter what you choose to do.
He just called Donald Trump a depraved clown. And he said repeatedly, he's not a Republican, he's not a conservative, look, he's not a Republican. And he goes on to say, well, the problem is that there was a five-car pileup in the establishment lane of the party, and that's what led to the rise of Trump. Yeah, no, allow me to disagree with you. So let me explain here. It didn't matter if you didn't have Jeb Bush, Scott Walker, Marco Rubio, and the rest of the establishment Republicans there. If you just had one of them, let's say you just had Jeb Bush or you just had Marco Rubio, and you went head-to-head with Trump, that candidate still would have lost. I mean, this is a nice myth that he's now created to try to make himself feel better about Trump, which is, well, no, the problem is just you split the establishment vote between the five establishment Republicans, or you split the GOP vote, between the five establishment Republicans. Yeah, but no, Trump crushed him. It wasn't even really close. So this idea of, okay, head-to-head, Ted Cruz. We saw how that worked out. And Ted Cruz is only like half establishment, half like true Kool-Aid drinking maniac. But definitely the other ones. Little Marco wasn't going to do shit. He didn't have the gravitas. He didn't have the charisma. He didn't have this idea. Oh, he has the policy positions, though, or the wonkiness down. No, he doesn't. No, he doesn't. None of them fucking do. Jeb Bush is a joke. They're all a joke. They're all totally a joke. So, but with Donald Trump, what was his appeal? They still don't get it. They still don't get it. Here's the answer. He's partly the quintessential Republican. The quintessential Republican, and partly the solution to some of their madness in terms of his rhetoric. So, when I say he's a quintessential Republican, what do I mean? He took some of their policy positions and he just admitted what they really are. So with the neocons, you know, they're, hey, we like enhanced interrogation, but we don't like torture. Torture is wrong. Hey, we want to be tough on undocumented immigration, but no, we are not anti-Hispanic. I don't know what you are talking about. Trump was like, yeah, 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 that's cute. All the coded language. Fuck off. Mexicans are rapists. I assume some are good people. Ban all Muslims from coming to the country. Yeah, I want to waterboard. I want to do worse than waterboarding. I'm going to torture, quote, even if it doesn't work. So, yeah, that's what I'm going to do. That's what I'm going to do. So he took all those positions that they had, and he just said, you know what? I'm going to put my balls on the table and tell you, yeah, this is what I fucking believe. And now the idiots who are not good at subtlety in the Republican base are like, oh, yeah, that's what I was feeling all along. Why is the other motherfuckers pussyfooting around it? Let's torture some motherfuckers. Let's ban all the Muslims. That's what we got to do. So that's the quintessential Republican position. And he decided, I'm just going to say it. And people liked that. They liked the how direct it was. They liked how straightforward it was. Now, on the flip side, I say he's just better and the solution to some Republican rhetoric when it comes to, for example, economics. Who was it during the Republican primary who was like, I'm not going to cut Social Security on the Republican side? It was only Donald Trump. Idiot Ted Cruz and Marco Rubio were up there like, you know, we got to get serious about our fiscal future, and we got to cut your entitlements even though you paid into it this entire time, and we got to get real about facing the fiscal reality. Now, number one, that's not true because it's all bullshit when they say, oh, Social Security going bankrupt, so we got to cut your benefits even though you paid into it. Number two, nobody wants to fucking hear that. Social Security and Medicare are massively popular even among the right-wing base. So Trump's like, are you guys really giving me this gift right now? Yeah, I'm for Social Security. How about that? So the base goes, yes, we're struggling, and this guy's going to let us keep our Social Security. Massively positive thing. Who's the only person on stage, TPP, terrible, NAFTA, terrible, we're going to keep our jobs here in the U.S., we're going to do infrastructure spending. He said that during the debates. Trump's the only one saying that. So Trump's doing economic populism when the other morons on stage are like, you know, we have to find a way to ship more jobs overseas and compete in the international global market, and that'll hurt your jobs, but I'm going to pretend like it doesn't hurt your jobs. And everybody's like, ugh, shut the fuck up. So you created them. You built that. This guy, this Republican consultant's like, yeah, no, dude, I don't know what Trump was. Trump was an aberration. All us other Republicans are so great. No, you're not. No, you're not. Marco Rubio, Jeb Bush, the rest of them, they're almost exactly where Trump is on the social issues, even though they pretend not to be. Maybe some of them are slightly better, but not much. And on economics, your rhetoric and your beliefs are worse. And don't get me wrong, I think Trump is actually going to do those standard right-wing things if he were to get into power. But the Jeb Bush and Marco Rubio, when they're trying to get votes and trying to appeal to people, couldn't even bring themselves to be somewhat economically populist. So you're not better. And this guy's trying to make himself feel better about the fact that the Republican Party, they built it in many respects. In some respects, Trump is a backlash to their over-the-top economic shittiness. And in some respects, he's just saying what all of them have been saying in the subtext, in the coded language, for years now. So you built it, you own it, you broke it. Now, luckily for you, there's a lot of problems on the Democratic side, too, because, you know, the Bernie Sanders wing rightfully is super pissed off at Hillary Clinton. So it's not like everything's hunky-dory on the left, and on the right, you guys are in disarray. But what I'm trying to do is get these people to understand. He's not an aberration, and, you know, you close your eyes to it again and say, let's just run another establishment candidate, you're in for another rude awakening, because there's going to be a Trump 2.0 if you don't wake the fuck up. Okay. All right, let me take a quick break. When we come back, I'm going to get to an insane Fox News host who stumbled on the correct strategy with Trump. And then later on, I have a video recording of Donald Trump saying he's in favor of immigration. Oh, that is great. And it wasn't from that long ago. What? Yep, you heard me correctly. Okay. Be right back, guys. Stay right there. Back, guys. Let's get to Stuart Vaughn, who is a very pompous motherfucker. You can't say motherfucker in a British accent. It just doesn't come out right. But he's actually going to be correct about something here when it comes to Donald Trump. Stuart Varney is an insane Fox Business host who's massively, massively right-wing. But he actually stumbled on some truth here because he invited on a Trump surrogate, and he lectured him about a failure in their strategy.
And it really isn't about Donald Trump this moment, even though it's
wrong one.
Michael Moore and Trump.
It's a tragedy. America's economy is in bad, bad shape. Our society is in bad, bad shape. This plan for growth and prosperity is buried completely.
I think Trump needs to talk about it more. But you should lead every speech with the idea that this is a draft.
I got to fault the your candidate. I've got to fault him. The so-called Gettysburg Address. He raises the issue of suing his women accusers. He brings these women back into the picture. I mean, come on, this is a tragedy for America.
Not, she keeps saying it's all he's got is tax cuts. It's regulatory reform, which is huge. It's trade reform, huge. Energy reform, huge. And I think also, if you have faster growth, you're going to have a stronger fiscal security for the country and a stronger national security.
I'm with you all
security.
The way.
They go together.
With you all the way? Growth and prosperity?
Let's talk about those every day.
Yes.
And put aside.
Have him talk about it every. Have him pound the table for prosperity and growth, please.
One of the problems is the corruption in Washington is too giant a problem to not raise.
Now, one of the problems is your candidate who can't stay away from talking about women and his accusers. Come back later.
Okay.
That is totally out of character for Stuart Varney. Stuart Varney is usually the number one Republican apologist across the board. Doesn't matter what Republican you're talking about. He's going to go out there and defend them and do it passionately. He couldn't bring himself to do it with Trump here because he's so angry and so frustrated at how shitty he's been in terms of the framing and what he discusses. So what he's referring to there is this economic speech, this big-time, you know, plan to revive America speech that Trump gave. The first 15 minutes of the speech was him talking about the female accusers, I'm going to sue them all, sue them after the election. Wait, hold on. Why don't you sue them now if you're going to sue them? Well, he's not going to sue them now because all the information comes out during the election if he sues them now. So we got to wait for after, and he's not going to end up suing them. So he made it personal. It was all about him in the first 15 minutes. It was weird. It was creepy. And then he got to some, like, actual policy proposals. And the policy proposals, some of them were just absolutely disastrous. You know, like, let's cut 70 to 80% of regulations. What does that even mean? You made that number up, and that's a horrible idea. What a terrible idea that is, among many other bad ideas. But there were some good things in there, like, hey, let's crack down on lobbyists. Now, I might disagree with the particulars and think he doesn't go far enough, and there's loopholes, yada, yada. But so if he were to focus on those things, though, for the campaign, the point is, he could have won. And I go further. I say he would have won if he had such an opportunity and such an opening where if he was able to put aside how you know crazy he is and how much he gets triggered and dragged in and baited to discussing issues that are personal in nature and scandalous, if he was able to somehow fight off that urge, which it might not be possible for him, but if he was able to do that, and if he only spoke about corruption, NAFTA, TPP, you know, Social Security, he's the lone Republican that defends entitlements, and foreign policy, if all he did was say, she's too hawkish, I'm gonna keep our troops here at home and rebuild America. That's all I'm going to do. I'm going to rebuild our infrastructure. I'm going to get us out of the wars. She wants to get us into the wars. Look at how she talks about Syria. Look at what she says about Syria. So if he hammered away on foreign policy, I'm the candidate of peace, she's the candidate of war. If he hammered away on corruption, look at all the money she's taken. You know, I mean, he can't say he actually did self-fund his campaign because he didn't, but he probably would say that and lie. But if he just focuses on her corruption, how she supported NAFTA, how she supported TPP, how he wants to bring factory jobs back to the U.S., if he only spoke about that and he kept hammering it over and over and over and over and over and over and over, I think he would have won even with the tape being released. Oh, I just fucking said it. Did I just say that? I don't know. Did I say it? I think I did. I think I did. Because I think it's true. I think he would have been able to weather the storm of the tape if he only focused on those things. But he didn't focus on them. He was baited at every turn, got personal at every turn, and imploded at every turn. And the results are she's up 5.5 points on average, according to even the most conservative estimates. Hillary had like an 85% chance of winning right now, which I don't think is far off. So we'll see. But Stuart Varney is actually right there in that he has to stop talking about the personal shit if he wants to have a chance, and he just can't stop doing it. Okay. All right, here we go. More. Where's the here we go. Rigged polls. Ready for this? That should be fun. Donald Trump was speaking about the polls at a campaign event, and he dove headfirst into a conspiracy.
The big money from a foreign person to the foundation at the time she's running for president. If this was, as you can see in those emails, this was a scheduling matter, and we didn't want her going overseas. I didn't want her going overseas before the campaign was kicking off.
Oh, shit.
But again, this is...
Why do I keep clicking the wrong one? What is wrong with me, though?
And watch the polls, because this is part of the crooked system. It's part of the rigged system that I've been talking about since I entered the race. I understand it. It's a rigged system. They put out phony polls. Wall
phony.
Journal, always. I've never had. I thought I was going to lose South Carolina in the primaries. They came out with a poll that was bad. And I actually skipped a certain amount of work in other locations in order to stay there, and I end up winning in a landslide. These are what they call them, dark polls. They are phony polls put out by phony media. And
phony.
I'll tell you what, all of us are affected by this stuff. And what they do is they try and suppress the vote. This way people don't go out and vote. But we're winning this race. I really believe we're winning.
Phony. You're such a phony. 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 Okay, so, Don, which is it? Last week, you're going around saying the election is rigged, the election is rigged, the election is rigged, implying that no matter what happens, Hillary Clinton's going to win, even if you win in terms of the popular vote and you actually have the turnout, that she's going to win because they rigged the election. Okay, that's what you were saying last week. This week, you're saying the exact opposite. You're saying the polls are rigged that have her up and we're going to win. So which is it? Is it that the election is rigged and Hillary Clinton's going to win no matter what because it's rigged, or is it that the polls are rigged and you're going to win no matter what because the polls are wrong when they say Hillary's winning? He doesn't think these things through because he's a buffoon. He's a buffoon. He's not smart. He's clearly unintelligent. If you don't see that, perhaps you're unintelligent too. Okay, now, furthermore, look, if you want to say, hey, man, I found a handful of polls where the methodology is wrong. For example, they oversampled Democrats. That's a problem. These polls should be disregarded. If you want to say that, that's a totally reasonable thing to say, and it's probably true. If you want to say all of the polls have been wrong because the polls show me down now, that's one of the dumbest things I've ever heard in my life. So let me go ahead and show you all of the polls in October. For those of you who don't know, which is probably none of you because nobody dives headfirst into this like I have to for my job here, but there's been 28 national polls in October. How many of them is Donald Trump leading in? A grand total of 3. 28 polls, 3 of them he's winning, and by the way, when he's winning, it ain't by a lot. It's within the margin of error every time. So let's stop and think about this. Don, there's been 28 polls in October, national polls in October. 3 of them have you winning. Is it your contention the 25 others are just rigged? You're up in them, but they're rigged against you. They're just all of them rigged. So all the different polls from all the different companies at all those different times throughout the month, all 25 of them are rigged. Every one. That's just not true. And by the way, this exact same thing happened with Mitt Romney in 2012. You guys don't remember the whole unskewed polls controversy? So virtually every poll had Obama winning. If I'm not mistaken, I think it was 88% on Nate Silver's website the day of the election that Obama would win. So of like 30 polls or whatever, it was like virtually the same thing. Only two or three polls had Mitt Romney winning. The rest of them had Obama winning. And on Election Day, he ended up winning. Rush Limbaugh, Larry Kudlow, George Will, and people inside the Romney administration were like – administration, campaign, I should say. They all thought, no, 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 we have internal polls. We're going to win this. Why? Because there were some right-wing jackasses who did exactly what Trump is doing right now, where they tried to say every single poll is rigged, we're the only ones that have the answer, and Romney's going to win. And then that bubble, pop, got burst. Now, this time it's so sad and it's so brazen, even Rush Limbaugh, who was along with the conspiracy last time, oh, Romney's going to win, it's going to be a landslide, he said. And then fucking Obama won in a landslide. Even Limbaugh came out yesterday. He's like, okay, look, pump your brakes a little bit, guys. He said, I thought in 2012, I thought the same thing. Hey, the polls are all rigged. They're all skewed, and we got the unskewed polls. Romney's going to win. And they didn't win because all the polls were not rigged. Now, he's even saying the same thing. Don't assume the polls are rigged. Don't do it. Don, you're probably down in 25 out of 28 because you're down in 25 out of 28, buddy. And again, he can't even get his own conspiracy straight. Which is it? The election is rigged, Hillary's going to win no matter what, or the polls are rigged and we're going to win no matter what. He's such a silly person, man. Look, the reality is she's up 5.5 points on average. And at this point, it's late enough in the election. I don't disagree with Nate Silver at this point. He's got 88%, 85% or so that Hillary Clinton's going to win. That's the most conservative estimate. Some people have it over 90%. Now, I had problems with Nate Silver earlier on, and I had him with him earlier on because, yes, he was being quantitative and he focused on the polls, but at the time, he couldn't factor in how they were running their campaigns. And since you can't factor that in, I thought, honestly, it wasn't empirical enough. Not that it was too empirical. I thought it wasn't empirical enough. So, but today, we've now had the trends. Time has gone by. We've had the Trump tapes, which exposed him as a serial sexual assaulter and all these different things. And now it appears like we've settled in at about this range, 85, 88% chance that Hillary Clinton's going to win. And he can whine about rigged polls all he wants, but it ain't going to help him. And remember what he did after the 2012 election. He went on Twitter and he had a meltdown and he called for revolution. Because he was looking at the popular vote numbers, which had Romney winning by a little bit, when the projections were already called for Obama to win the entire election. Because he doesn't understand statistics, he doesn't understand math, he doesn't understand how this works. He doesn't get that the precincts that were going to report, that still had to report, were overwhelmingly Democratic, and they were going to go Democratic, and that was known. So, but he's like, no, it's just a revolution. Romney won the popular vote, by the way. Turns out he didn't win by that the popular vote in any way, shape, or form. Like, yeah, Romney won the popular vote, but Obama's going to get in there. So, revolution! It's what he tweeted. And by the way, did he say that when it was Bush winning and it was Gore, when Gore actually won the popular vote but lost the Electoral College? No. But anyway, he called for revolution. Imagine if he does that now. If he does that now, oh, we're going to have some problems on our hands. Because now he's got an army of right-wing base kooks who might do something bad. 25% to 40% of the country are diehard Trumpians. And if he goes on Twitter and has a meltdown if/when he loses this time, that's going to be a bad, bad thing, man. And the fallout from that is going to be very dangerous. Next. All right, Trump on immigration. We have a new old video here, if that makes any sense, of Donald Trump. This is from 2012, and he's on CNBC. And look at his opinions on immigration from then. Not that long ago, just 2012. Let's see what he had to say.
It confuses me about Republicans who claim that they believe in the free movement of labor, capital, and goods. They're all good on goods and the capital, but when it comes to labor, a lot of the Republican Party is very anti-immigrant. Do you think that's a good idea? When actually it's quite good for the economy to have as much labor movement as possible.
Well, you know my views on it, and I'm, you know, not necessarily. I think I'm probably down the middle on that also, because I also understand how, as an example, you have people in this country for 20 years. They've done a great job. They've done wonderfully. They've gone to school. They've gotten good marks. They're productive. Now we're supposed to send them out of the country. I don't believe in that, Michelle, and you understand that. I don't believe in a lot of things that are being said.
My, how times have changed. So, he said it. I didn't say it. He said it. I'm, quote, down the middle on immigration. And then he goes on to explain, I mean, what are you going to do? Somebody's here 20 years, and they've been working hard and all this stuff, and you're going to ship that person out of the country? I don't think so. I don't believe in these things. I don't believe in a lot of things, Michelle. There you have it, man. Now, what's the counterargument here from people on the right when it comes to this? He was so young at the time that it don't mean nothing. He was, he was a spring chicken. He was all of 66 years old. Come on, man. This guy's the most obvious con man in the world. He doesn't have any core principles. He doesn't have any values. We also covered the story the other day. 2013, he wrote an article for CNN. Guys, 2013 was not long ago at all. He wrote an article for CNN. Where he said he wants open borders. He wants open borders, and he wants to move towards global unity when it comes to economics. So, in other words, that sounds like globalism. And when he was talking about open borders, for the record, he actually wasn't talking about literal open borders immigration-wise. He's talking about open borders for trade. In other words, he was against protectionism for NAFTA, for the World Trade Organization. And this was only 2013, man. 67 years old. He has no core. He has no principles. He doesn't believe any of the shit he's saying. He just says shit. By the way, this is not to excuse Hillary Clinton, because she's flip-flopped like nobody's business, too, and we've covered that in detail, okay? But Trump's no better. This idea of, like, oh, no, he's actually principled. He believes the things he's saying. Well, then how do you explain this? How do you explain that today is the Mexicans, they're rapists. They're criminals. I assume some are good people, but like, ban all Muslims from coming into the country. Kick out all undocumented immigrants. Over 11 million undocumented immigrants. Kick them all out. All. How do you square that with, I'm, quote, down the middle on immigration? And by the way, his comments in isolation here from 2012, I actually agree with. Yes, so what are you going to do? If somebody's been here 20 years and they're an undocumented immigrant, but they've been working hard, they've been busting their ass, yeah, I'm going to give them citizenship. What am I going to do, just ship them all out? That's crazy. So I agree with Donald Trump from 2012. The thing is, I don't know which Donald Trump is the real Donald Trump, the Donald Trump from 2012 or the Donald Trump from 2016. And his base doesn't know either. They might pretend to know, but they don't know. They might say, no, definitely the one from 2016. You're just saying that because that's the one that agrees with you more. I don't know. I genuinely don't know. But I'm not going to roll the fucking dice on it. I'm not going to roll the dice on the rest of his insane positions. Because I know he doesn't have a core. It appears like his only guiding philosophy is narcissism. Again, not saying Hillary's better, but saying it's clear that he's just a fucking buffoon who... Where are the wins? Where are the wins? Oh, I was asked a question that was framed in a context of being pro-immigration. So now, all of a sudden, I'm down the middle on immigration. I'm kind of moderate, man. It's only been here 20 years. We're going to deport that? I don't believe in them. I don't believe in that. I don't believe in deporting them. They've been here and they've been working hard. Well, you do now, because when you're trying to appeal to a certain group of people, you'll go that way. Try to appeal to another group of people, you go the other way. I believe that's exactly what you bash Hillary Clinton for. All right, sweet cheese, this whole fucking show has been Trump and Hillary. I'm just going to jump ahead to the climate change story because I just need to do a story that's not them. But then there is another one I have to do. Oh, kill me. But it's Michael Moore in it, too, so it's not the same.
Okay.
Ron Johnson is a Republican senator from Wisconsin. He's currently running against Russ Feingold for re-election. And he went on a radio show and spoke about climate change. So he said the following. Obviously, man affects the environment, and we should do everything we can to maintain a clean environment. But you need an affluent society. You need a strong economy. let's not shoot ourselves in the foot with policies. I've never denied climate change. It has always changed, always will. The sun has the primary effect on weather and climate on planet Earth, so I'm just not a climate change alarmist. Mankind has actually flourished in warmer temperatures. I just think the question always is, what is the cost versus the benefit of anything we do to try and clean up our environment? I'm highly concerned about the climate alarmists that are going to spend a lot of money and have no impact whatsoever on the climate, but have a great deal of harm on our economy. Climate has already changed, always will. I'm just not an alarmist. We will adapt. How many people are moving up toward the Antarctica or the Arctic? Most people move down to Texas or Florida, where it's a little bit warmer. Yeah, it's a deep, man, such a deep thought. Maybe climate change is good. Hey, man, who doesn't like warmer weather, you know what I'm saying? That's why everybody moves to Florida. They don't move to the Arctic. Come on, be reasonable here. Oh, God, people who are this scientifically ignorant, having this much power, scares the shit out of me. Because everything he's saying is just like some shit your dumbass uncle would say at the Thanksgiving dinner table. Oh, yeah, you know what? I think it's all a hoax, and actually, maybe it's not a hoax. Maybe it's happening, but the climate's always changed, and maybe the warmer weather's a good thing. Maybe it's a good thing. It's like they've never read anything that's actually scientific on it and digested the facts. They don't want to listen to the experts. I got it. I know enough. I figured it out. I mean, that's like such rigid, gross thinking. Like, fucking learn. Read some shit that's not authored by ExxonMobil. And by the way, while we're on the topic, from the oil and gas industry, in his career, Ron Johnson has raised $436,775. I wonder if that influences his worldview. I can't figure it out. It obviously influences his worldview. But there you have it. This is where we're at with a senator in 2016. Meanwhile, we just covered the story. We passed the point of no return, bitch. We're permanently over 400 parts per million. That's the tipping point. And this guy's like, yeah, maybe it's good. They don't care. They just embrace their ignorance, and they're paid by the oil companies. And also understand, when they argue, it'll
hurt the economy to do what the liberals want.
It would help the economy. What you're doing is the functional equivalent of fighting to keep the Morse code industry or the horse and buggy industry in control. It's a dying industry. It's got to go away, in this case, for the survival of humanity when it comes to oil and gas. He's like, no, I take money from them, so I have to fight for them. The Morse code is better than the telephone. The horse and buggy is better than the car. Because I'm paid to say this, I'm going to say this. Meh. Okay, but you're wrong. And we have an economic boom just waiting to happen with renewable green technology, and you're too dumb to realize it. So learn the facts and understand this isn't something we can afford to drag our feet on anymore. The sea levels are going to rise. There's going to be wars over fresh water in some countries. There's going to be an increase in food prices because of famine and drought. You have all these horrible things, increase in natural disasters. At the end of the day, it's going to cost trillions of dollars to deal with climate change. And these guys say, man, maybe it's a good thing because ExxonMobil pays me to say it's a good thing. Well, I can't wait for Ron Johnson to lose. And by the way, he's down in the polls right now to Russ Feingold, who's a real progressive. Okay. Final story of the day. Let's go to Michael Moore here. Michael Moore went on The View to talk about his new movie called Trumpland, and he pushed for Hillary Clinton here. Let's watch.
And it really isn't about Donald Trump, this movie, even though it's called Michael Moore in Trumpland.
Right, right.
What's it about?
Ohio. right, it's there's nothing more to be said about Donald Trump as far as I'm concerned. What more do you need to know? You know it, and you can decide
right.
One way or the other.
What can you say that every psychiatrist hasn't said already?
This is really a film about Hillary and myself as maybe an unlikely messenger. To say that even though I've never voted for her, I didn't vote for her in 08, I didn't vote for her in the primary this year, I voted for Bernie, but I'm very excited about voting for her. And I have a lot of respect for her, even though I agree with her.
political on everything.
Yeah.
She's, I mean, she has devoted her life to helping people, to serving this country. She hasn't devoted her life to harming the planet, hurting people, ruining the lives of employees, all the things that people have had to go through in this country. Mm-hmm. And so I just thought, how come, I'm just wondering why, especially people who say they're going to vote for Hillary, they don't say it like they're excited. They're like, yeah, I'm going to vote for Hillary. It's like, no, come on.
But some people would disagree with you. They would say she voted for the war in Iraq, which might have ruined some people's lives.
I disagree with her on that. I think that was wrong. She's too cozy with Wall Street. I can give you all the political reasons that I disagree with her on. But to think of her in the Oval Office representing this country, I mean, come on. First of all, I say this to Bernie people. We're not being asked to vote for Margaret Thatcher.
Low bar. I mean, come on. It's not Margaret Thatcher. He goes on to say, it's not Clarence Thomas. You keep dropping that bar there, Mike. Come on now, buddy. Come on. We're not asking you to vote for Genghis Khan or Attila the Hun. So I'm supposed to be excited because it's not Margaret Thatcher? Like, I'll grant you, she's better than Margaret Thatcher, but that really is not saying much, because she certainly ain't a liberal. Now, understand something. I actually like Michael Moore. Michael Moore was a strong Bernie supporter, and he's not kidding when he says they're like, no, I get it. Like, I do have the disagreements with her. And I don't want to, like, you know, try to say he's a sellout or something. He's definitely not, and he supported Bernie. He can give you the laundry list of reasons of things he disagrees with Hillary on. But that's why I'm doing this segment, to say to Michael Moore, dude, we know you're being slightly disingenuous here. Like when you say, why aren't they excited? I don't understand why they're not excited. You know the answer to that question. You know the answer to that question. Stop pretending like you don't know the answer to that question. You know the answer to that question. Because people, honestly, shouldn't be excited to vote for Hillary Clinton. I get it. If you want to go out there and say, look, man, I'm pure lesser of two evils up in this bitch. I get that. I totally get it. Climate change, she's going to be way better. Trump says, I'll rip up the Paris Agreement on day one. She will not do that. You know, the Supreme Court, he wants the next Justice Scalia. She wants a centrist judge. I get it. Tax plans, hers is way better. He says he wants to cut 70 to 80% of regulation. She won't do that. She won't eliminate the FDA and the EPA. I get the lesser of two evils argument. I don't at all get the, no, seriously, let's get excited. Yippee-skidoo. No, I don't even think you're excited, Mike. You're not excited. You're not. Why? For the reasons that you can list that I'm going to list for you right now. She supported the Iraq war, like you said. She supported Libya intervention. Now she wants Syria intervention. She supported TPP, lobbied for it 45 times. She supported NAFTA. She supported deregulation of Wall Street. She supported the Patriot Act. Did you know she didn't flip on gay marriage until, like, 2013? She didn't admit her Iraq war vote was wrong until 2014. There were Republicans who changed their mind before she changed hers. So she ain't a fucking liberal. She ain't a liberal. She's a corporatist, centrist at best, center-right, I should say, hawk. That's what she is. That's why I'm not excited to vote for her. So, Mike, if you want to go out there and make the lesser of two evils argument, depending on which argument you make, I might agree with you or I might disagree with you because they're bad lesser of two evil arguments. But if you make a good lesser of two evils arguments, I'm with you and I'll do a segment defending you. But when you go out there and you pretend like, I'm excited to vote for her, I think that's disingenuous, man, because you know she's not a liberal. And you know that the bigger problem, the broader problem here, Mike, is the spectrum is shifting more and more to the right. It started with Reagan. And it just kept going. Reagan came in super far right-wing candidate, dragged the Democrats to the right with him. Bill Clinton even solidified this trend because he was a centrist new Democrat, a neoliberal. So now, hey, look at this. We're starting to see even when we elect Democrats, they're not really progressive. And then obviously with Bush and Cheney, they were off the spectrum to the right, and they dragged the Democrats with them. The Democrats got rolled over. Anytime Bush wanted anything, they were fucking laying in a chalk outline of themselves. And then Obama, I think he campaigned center-left. Other people would disagree with me and say he just campaigned as a progressive. Okay. It's certainly in 08, I think he was a center-left candidate. But he governs as a centrist. So then again, no progressive. And now we're going to get another, it looks like, non-progressive Democrat. When are we ever going to get a progressive, Mike? When are we ever going to get a progressive? No, I'm not excited for that. You want to get me excited? Get the next FDR. Give me a Bernie Sanders. At least give me some kind of progressive. They're not. So, no, I'm not excited, and I'm not going to vote for her here in New York. I'm voting for Jill Stein. Now, if I was in a swing state, perhaps that's a different consideration. And as I've said before, I probably would suck it up and vote for Hillary in a swing state for the simple reason that either Trump or Hillary is going to win, and I think she is the lesser of two evils. But who are you kidding? Nobody should be excited to vote for her. In fact, if you are excited, I question your intelligence. Okay. I'm out of time, guys. I love you. I will see you back here tomorrow. You know the deal. You know the drill. Everybody have a great rest of the day. Peace.